Hi, team. Welcome back to Game Time. I'm your host and coaching teammate, Shauna Griffiths, and I am so grateful to have you here with me for today's conversation with an impactful leader, my friend, Megan Clark. And if you're new to the show, know that every episode is designed to help you take your leadership game to the next level. You see, I believe that leadership is a sport and that each one of us can choose the mindset and the way of what I call the leadership athlete. So that borrows a lot from the characteristics that we tend to see in high-performing athletes and high-performing business people, which brings me back to our guest today, Megan. Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really an honor. As you know, I'm a big fan of yours. It's absolutely a thrill to be on your show.
So folks, Megan and I have known each other now, I don't even know how long, but it's been amazing. Yes. We met on LinkedIn. And she was kind enough to reach out to me. And I responded, of course, which it is funny because you said this earlier, you were nervous to reach out to me.
Yes, very intimidated. And my goal last year was just to put myself out there. And I reached out to you because your positivity radiates from your words that you write in your inspirational posts on LinkedIn. And I wanted to reach out because I'm like, I was liking everything and starting to comment. And I'm like, okay, Megan, just put yourself out there, reach out to Shauna, because I just knew it would only be a positive experience. And you were so kind to just set up a call with me just to get to know me, right? And we were talking about this earlier, just the power of reaching out and the power of kindness. There are a lot of kind people out there who really genuinely want to help and support. And you have been that for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Likewise, there are so many times when you have brought joy or upliftedness to me when I needed it the most. And you're like you were saying, you felt it was kind of me to respond in that moment that you reached out to me. And I was thinking, who is this amazing woman who wants to talk to me? You know, you've given me feedback over time to things that I have posted that's really meant a lot to me because you have your own show, you post things, and sometimes it's a little bit of a hope and a prayer that it's going to resonate with people.
Yes.
And when it does, it means the world. So thank you so much for being part of my journey.
No, it's been my pleasure and vice versa. And I'm just thrilled that our friendship has continued and it's going to continue, right? And I think that's the power of just the reaching out, meeting new people, networking, and you never know how it's going to turn out, right? And again, just making that conscious effort to, like, if you like what someone's doing, you know, give them a like, give some feedback, because you never, it's like what you said, I think something will hit and resonate and it's like crickets. And then the thing that I don't think is going to resonate may hit. And you and I are the same. We do what we do because we want to help other people. We want to help support. We want to help people on their journey. So none of it is like self-serving. It really is genuine and heartfelt. So when you put yourself out there, it's difficult.
You know, when you reached out to me, it was full of authenticity and intention. And so, you know, that's actually a way I've met quite a few people on LinkedIn. You know, it's so many times people say, oh, LinkedIn is just, you know, people, salespeople or HR people. And, oh, I only get pitch slapped in my DMs. And I'm actually like, oh, I've actually met some pretty cool people.
Exactly. Exactly. But you're open, right? And that's such a key just in life in general, just being open. And I always say, if I can learn one thing from a meeting, a call, an event, whatever it may be, then that's a win. So wins look different for people, right?
It's so true. I love that you're using that language because it gets to the topic that we're really talking about is your sweet spot of sales and marketing. And I kind of laughed when you said the win part because sales is this eye of the storm of these sports analogies. And I think this is why leadership as a sport and leadership athlete has resonated with you so much.
Yes.
And you've just been so supportive. It was my honor to welcome you as a part of the 2025 Leadership Athlete Draft Class.
Yes, thank you. It's such an honor. No, I'm absolutely so excited. I was, when you reached out to me, I was like, oh my goodness, inside that is so awesome.
I do it because, to your point about wanting to showcase people and fill other people up and give people examples, and look what you're doing as a very successful national sales and marketing leader. You're an author, a certified coach. You're doing all these amazing things, and you're also pretty entrepreneurial. We talked about your own podcast that you started and you host, and you have a sales management training program. And I really been driven to be able to showcase people as yourself and show it's about representation. Another woman can be dominant and positive and impactful in this category of sales.
That's what's been phenomenal about just the networking and doing my own podcast is I realized speaking with you and others, because you've been on my podcast, there are so many talented people out there and exceptional people. And the fact that we have this platform and we can get that out to other folks. And again, it's just picking up one or two things from a podcast, whatever it may be. I love the fact that you do take into account who is showing up on your show. You make a very conscious effort. And, I do as well. I only will bring folks that I really am inspired by myself and want to learn from. And I've learned so much from folks like yourself. So it's like what I said earlier, it's a win, right? So this is a win-win. But I do speak in wins a lot. It's the former athlete talk, right?
It is. It's so true. And in sales, I talk about that. I kind of joke around about it, but you've got your huddles. Literally, if you're pitching for business, you're up to bat, you're getting your reps in. It's all this breeding ground of sports language. But I think it's a perfect way to see these characteristics that we talk about. Being coachable, wanting to do your best, your teammates, those around you. And I think you do see them in high performing athletes, people demonstrate those things. And you do see that a lot in sales because, you'll see that competition, but a lot of times you see people, they're not so much competing against someone else, but they're competing with themselves every day to be able to reach their goals.
Yes, sales is so difficult and it can be very lonely. Right. And it's a conscious decision every day, especially if you're in field sales. Like, am I going to get out and have the discipline to start at a certain time? I always had this mentality that if I was going to invest in, say, like a lunch and learn or something, I'm coming away with a win, like an order. Right. But like having that mentality every day, but each sales call, like, what am I coming away with? And it was actually my first manager in pharmaceutical sales. And I thought I was really like hot stuff. I'm like, oh, this is my first job. I'm like in Miami. I think I'm, great mid, in my 20s. And he was like, Megan, you're not really making an impact on your calls. And he goes, you need to think of every call like a volleyball game. And he goes, you need to come away with a win. So you need to basically close and ask for something, right? And instead of like, it's great, everyone likes you, but that's not going to get you anywhere. And so once he put that in my terms, my volleyball terms, I'm like, okay, game on. Each call was a very conscious effort instead of just going in and going through the motions. And that's what I try to do today is just every minute, every call I'm on, be present, give your best, and come away with something. If it's just even a learning, just come away with something, and that's a win.
And by doing that, by showing up that way, you're actually able to really actively listen. And to your point, when you're saying win, you're not necessarily saying you're going to get a close on every single call, but that win is that nugget of knowledge that then you can come up with an insight from and bring it back to them. And that's going to get you closer to the win. But I love what you're saying about the intentionality that you bring to each call. And the reason I'm pausing on it is because it's something that I've had to remind myself, and quite frankly, my coach has reminded me of, because I do a lot of pitching as I'm trying to attract new coaching clients, new consulting clients. And a lot of times it's just going to a call and meeting someone. But to your point, if you're intentional about, okay, this call, this is what it looks like if I get some sort of a win out of this call. And that win could be you give them some information or you get some information. It's the back and forth. But I do think that intentionality just changes the game.
Most definitely. I think the way we define a win, right? It used to be really big for me, but now it's, staying on a call and being present. If I get off the call and I'm like, okay, I gave that person everything I had, And especially having a team, right? And being the leader of a team. We have calls, I mean, since COVID, as you know, calls are just insane, right? And it's back to back to back to back. If I was thinking about the next call or the next thing and not being in that moment with that person, I mean, and I got that feedback once, like about 10 years ago from a representative who I love to this day. And she was very blunt and honest. And she goes, so I started with a new company and I'm like, I don't think my team like is gravitating to me. Like, I don't know what the issue is. And she goes, you know, your one-on-one calls, she goes, they're very transactional. Cause I'm like, okay, let's go, let's get through it so I can answer all your questions and do. And she's like, slow down a bit, right? And so that kind of feedback is tough in the moment, but always welcome, because if I am coachable and the coachability, right? So if someone does provide feedback, which I think is really important to provide, you know, constructive feedback, but also positive feedback. And when you have a high performing team, that's something I have to remind myself of, is providing them with that positive feedback and encouragement. But again, it's just going back to being in that present moment. And I was not good at that for many years. And now I really just try for each moment, like, we're never going to have this moment again, right? So I'm not worried what's happening after this. I'm worried about, like, I want to give everything now.
Yeah, it's so true. And when you're in sales, you really do need to stay present in those conversations. Yes. It is your responsibility to follow up. Chances are the person that you're pitching, the more you showed them that you actually listen to them, mm-hmm. the more they will want to continue that conversation. Leads can get lost because the person wasn't really listening.
That is so true. And I'm thinking about, I was put on a plan with a company. So after that pharmaceutical company, I went into medical devices and I won. So after that manager spoke with me, I turned around my performance, won President's Club. And I'm like, okay, next thing is medical devices. I start and I was put on a plan within like 3 months of starting with that company. And I had the decision to make, am I going to take the coaching from my manager? And of course, I had that immediate response. Oh, she doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And then I really thought about it. And I'm like, yeah, I need to put everything into this. And what I realized, I wasn't listening during the calls. I was so insecure because with the device we had, it was talking to all different types of surgeons. I felt like I needed to know everything that those surgeons did. No, I just needed to ask simple questions, find out what the issues were, and then meet that need for the customer. But how are you going to meet a need if you don't listen and then just ask basic questions, right? So I made it really difficult on myself at first. But then once I slowed down and started listening, started not thinking about what am I going to say next? Because I was always afraid. It was like imposter syndrome. I was afraid I was going to be found out. Like, this person doesn't like, this plastic surgeon is going to look at me like I'm an idiot. So I was always thinking, like, what are they going to ask me next, and what I need to prepare for, instead of just being in that moment, asking simple questions. And once I started doing that, my business exploded. And it was that manager who actually changed my life in many ways, because she taught me the power of coaching. And that's why I am so big on coaching, is because of her and the time and energy that she spent in coaching me. I realized a lot of managers don't do that. And that's the difference maker. She changed my career, and I am so passionate about coaching. And it's funny because I look the whole sports thing, right? I look at Rick Pitino, right? And what he's doing at St. John's, and he is up out of his seat coaching the whole game. And I was watching another game, I won't say against what team, and the other coach is on the, just sitting in a seat, not moving around. I'm like, this guy's 72 years old and he's given it everything he has. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It gets me like just so excited. It
gets me so fired up too. I know. And here's the thing, like, she poured into you, and I bet by you receiving it and you being coachable and you then turning around your own performance, that actually then filled her up. Yeah. I've said that so much to people that I've mentored and coached over time. And I remember a lot of them not really seeing that in the beginning. But then when I look at them and I see them flourishing, I get so, it's not that I take credit for it. I actually just get excited. I'm so happy for them, you know? And so I do think in coaching, in, you know, consulting, even it can be leadership training. Yes. It is such a give and take when you have both parties like that, who are just really open and interested in it. And there is a lack of selfishness in it. Somebody I was talking to, he was actually on my show, John, I don't know why I'm blanking on his last name, but he was talking about leading by giving first. And it's just such a nice way to say it. It really is true.
Yes. Oh. Yes. It's those people that gave so much to me that really inspire me to try to, whether it's a podcast or whatever I'm doing, is just, if there's anything I could do to support others and they learned something from the journey. And honestly, I'm pretty transparent, and we've talked about being vulnerable. I think it's really important to be vulnerable as a leader. I've heard more no's than yes. I've been on the ground more than I've been up, right? It's all how you react. It's all about the turnaround. And it's the folks that take the coaching. It's the folks that take, like, my performance is not there. Are you going to sit in it, or are you going to reach out and ask for help? Or are you going to listen to your manager or whomever it may be, right? And take that coaching and make an effort to change. It really is that coachability factor is absolutely key in sales and in life in general.
Yeah. Right. In life in general. And I think it's so interesting when you said that about taking so many no's. I think there's something really special about it. This is why I think there's a lot of athletes or people who have been from a similar background, where they've had that training and the fundamentals. I was about to say beaten into them, which I don't exactly mean. But, you know, to be able to keep coming back to a job where you're going to get, you're definitely going to get more no's than you get yeses. To be able to withstand that, it's like my coach sometimes will say, like, nobody likes to get punched in the face, but you do it, it stings and you keep going. But in that, it's the learning.
Yeah.
And when I'm consulting with people in the sales space and the revenue growth, you know, that's so much of what I talk about is those, what are the key learnings? And so did you win the pitch? Did you lose the pitch? Either way, how are you going to learn and grow and evolve from it? And I think there's a lot of times when people, they'll either just get mad, or they'll say, well, they didn't really know what they were wanting anyway, or they just went with somebody else because they were cheaper. Okay, well, that is a bit of a convenient answer. It might feel good, but can we dig a little bit deeper and ask ourselves, could we have done something differently? What could we learn from that situation? Or if someone would say, oh, we won because we got lucky. Again, what did you learn from the process? We have to push ourselves to do that, I think, and be disciplined about that. And by doing so as leaders, impart that into those around us.
Yes, that is so key. Just being realistic about yourself and where you're at. Like, I self-coach the whole day. Like, I'm in my head all day long in my personal life, in my professional life. I'm coaching myself all day long. And I used to beat myself up. I don't beat myself up. Now it's like, you know, what could I have learned? What could I have done differently? But that self-coaching part is so impactful. But you have to be open to really being real with yourself. And it was really when I started working on becoming a coach myself, where I started asking more questions and talking, really getting, and then learning about myself. Cause I've had coaches, still have coaches, right? To this day, I learn a lot about myself, and it's a daily practice. No one ever has it figured out. And I was talking to a sales representative that I mentor, and I have mentors myself, right? So, but she's like, oh, I would just expect you've gotten a lot of yeses. Just like, no.
Yes, and.
Yeah.
Yes, and. Every yes came with a ton of no's. Yeah, exactly.
A ton of no's. And again, I think growing up and playing sports and having a lot of disappointments, to be honest with you, when I look back, I mean, my senior year, I had to sit on the bench. I tore my ACL. I was being recruited by all these big schools. Like, I never thought I'd end up in Barry University in Miami, right? So I tear my ACL in front of all of these recruiters / coaches. And one coach came up to me while I was on the ground screaming and crying. And he said, you have a full ride no matter what to my school. So every week I was getting rejection letters. He was writing handwritten letters of encouragement about people that came back from ACL surgeries. And that made such an impact on me. That's why I ended up in sales. And that's why I wanted to become a manager, because I wanted to be like the coach, right? Because my coaches made such an impact with me. And so that's how it all like sort of unfolded. But yeah, I missed out on my senior year, and I would have ended up, you know, at a different college. And then my senior year in college, when my team won a Division II national championship, I was injured and I never had a last game. And I've never talked to anyone about this, because I was thinking about the other day, because I have never loved anything. I loved playing volleyball. I was hooked from the moment I played. And the disappointment of not having a last game, of not being a part of that championship when I was the setter, I was, you know, a big part of why we were winning, and beat up my body, right? I've never been able to run since like 23, 24. Beat up my body, but did it. And a lot of heartache, right? So all that training and work, and there was heartache, but to this day, there's heartache, right? Thinking, oh, I should have gotten that position, or I should have been here or there. So those lessons, really being coachable and looking back on those tough times and what I did during the tough times to rebound, to this day helped me, you know, rebound.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm smiling over here as you're saying all this, because I couldn't agree more from my experience coming up playing. And it's clear what you're saying, that coachability is so important, the vulnerability that you talked about. And I think something that stood out to me also is that we've been talking about the discipline of sales. But at the same time, when we are pitching ourselves to someone else for a job, for a promotion, we're literally selling ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's like we are the proposition that we're trying to convince, We're trying to persuade, influence someone to hire us, to promote us, or to do that for someone else. Those are all air quote sales pitches. Yes. And I'm saying this partly for the audience, if they're listening to this and they're like, oh, I'm not really in sales. My retort to that is yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. And so I think these things that we're talking about and that are pulling very much these characteristics around resilience and how we're self-coaching and self-regulating, these are things that I really think are available to so many people. We can choose to do these things, and we can apply them in so many ways to life, to our own career journeys. Or if you are literally in sales, like you are, and dominating in sales, you're applying this also to your craft every day.
Yes. Sales pertains to everything, right? And I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely correct. If you're pitching yourself, you're the product. Every day, we're the product, no matter what role we're in. And the way we show up is so important. And yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's why it's so hard when you do get a denial, or you do go for something and you don't get it right. It's you, like, right? I mean, a lot goes into it, performance and history and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's hard to get no's, because it's you're getting the no to. And it's really just the rebound and picking yourself up. And I've had teams read the book, you know, Peaks and Valleys. It's what you do in the valley that makes all the difference, because the peaks are fleeting. Mm-hmm. For all of us, no matter how dedicated you are, just like getting injured, right? That's what I learned, is just like in the valley, what am I going to do? Am I going to get back up and train and do those things? It's just like being on the plant. I made a conscious decision that I was going to put everything I had into that role, and I didn't have to do that, right? So it's a conscious decision what we do each and every day. And it's the little things every day that add up.
Yeah, it really is. And what you're saying, even about the like peaks and the valleys, I think that whether it's social media or whatever the things are with those endorphin hits, and we get into this lull of thinking that everything has got to feel good, everything's got to be good, it's got to feel happy at all times, and we're always seeking that next high. And the reality is, so much of what we do on a regular basis, it can be almost, I was going to say mundane, I don't mean it in a negative way. There can be periods where it's steady, or you're going to have periods where you do have those downturns, you do have those bumps and lumps and all of that. And sometimes I think it's important to just accept that you're going to get no's. Accept those type of things. That doesn't mean that you need to accept it and stop trying. It means that sort of manage our own expectations around that and get back to work. And then we can allow ourselves to feel like I mentioned to you, I was crying this morning, you know, and I was having my own pity party this morning. And I was like, okay, I got it out. Now what am I going to do? You can have a moment to hang your head, to feel bad, to have some, whatever you want to call it, pity, whatever the thing is. But it's how long are you going to allow yourself, to your point, how long are you going to allow yourself to sit in that? And then you are the one who can decide whether or not you're going to get out of it and how you're going to get out of it. And we were talking about this earlier. Nobody's going to do it for you.
No. And the positives in life are really when you put yourself out there. And it doesn't always end up, I mean, most of the time, let's face it, it doesn't end up the way we would want it, but it ends up being the way it needs to be. And that's really hard to accept, especially when you're a doer, right? And you want to, like, I know for myself, I was taught, you know, the hard work and everything, it will pay off. Sometimes it doesn't, but it was in the journey of the work where it paid off. And it's reflecting though, like just reflecting on those moments of putting myself out there in my life that continue to make me like, it's always a gamble, right? Like reaching out to you, I was very nervous and but I put myself in uncomfortable situations a lot because that's where the growth comes from.
Yeah, it is so true. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot right now, because as you know, in my life right now, I have a lot of uncomfortable situations going on as I'm growing my own business, as we just relocated, all of these things. And, you know, and to your point, I think my sister actually said that to me, something about like, I've been putting myself in uncomfortable situations. And I want this to happen on my time frame and in the way that I think it's going to happen. And the reality is like something will happen. It may not match exactly what I was hoping for or when I was hoping it for. I didn't find my husband until I was 37 or 38, you know, and I'm like, well, I sure thought I was hoping to find him sooner. But I think there is an element of, to your point, like it comes when it's supposed to, when you're doing the things, when you're taking the actions, when you're actively listening and learning and growing and contributing. I just think that there's goodness to be had. But again, we're going to have some lumps along the way. Just reality.
Yeah, that is for sure. And it's okay to be disappointed, right? And it's like what you said earlier, you had a good cry. I wanted to cry earlier, like multiple times. Like today was very, very trying. But look at where I'm at right now. I get to be on this podcast, speak with you. I feel completely energized. I could run around the block after this, right? How lucky and blessed am I right now to have this moment? So it's the disappointments, and I see that with folks who are younger in their careers, and you're going to get the no's. I get the no's all the time, and I'm 45 years old, right? So you're going to get the no's, and just believe in yourself and keep going. And even when you have those moments, I had many, many moments of not feeling confident in myself, but just taking a little step forward, whatever that step may be, is the key. And just not getting stuck. It's like almost like picking your legs out of the mud, right? Like,
This is why I talk about it as like your toolbox. And you were saying earlier about mindset and having to really talk ourselves out of having a negative reaction to the sea of no's and all that kind of thing. And I thought to bring this up because a friend of mine who you actually know, Ashley Casey.
Yes.
She has this thing that she says something awesome is going to happen today. She says it every day. And it's one of those things that if I find myself feeling a little frustrated or a little bit like, is that happening at the time? It's like, no, but something awesome is going to happen today. Yeah. So I try to adopt some of these little things. There's plenty of sayings. You've you know, been around me enough now to know I have little things that I say or share with others, because it's our responsibility to have those tools in our toolbox that help us. You know, again, I've said a couple times that about if you're in a sales slump. Right. And so I'm actually curious about that. What are your thoughts about if people are listening and they're like, yeah, but I've gotten too many no's and I can't. And now losing has become almost a habit. Actually, I knew someone, they had like 17 losses at the start of the year. It was an agency that was pitching and you're like, oh my God, that's just so demoralizing. You have so much expertise in sales and marketing. What happens when you're in a slump? How do you get out of it?
Sure, that's a great question. And it comes back to the self-reflection, but also to reaching out like if to your manager or whatnot, right? So I have many representatives that I've been lucky enough to work with, but they've had big turnarounds where they've been in that spot where it was like do or die because they had so many losses. And one rep in particular, it was her routing. So I rode with her, right? And we went all over the state that we were in. And her and I laugh about this to this day because the first ride along was like, she is so good. What is wrong? Well, I figured it out. It was like, it was the routing and the targeting. So she did a territory planning and she does this to her day. She uses it to this day is a territory planning tool. And she's like, Megan, I remember it was a Friday night when she called me. She goes, I'm going to work this plan. Are you okay with me just working one part where I have approvals in my territory? And I'm like, yes, go for it and make the plan around that. And so we made the plan for the quarter around that area. And I believe in territory plans because you want to have in the forefront, you know, what you're working on, right? Your top accounts, the SMART goals on how you're going to get those accounts to where they are. And then managers out there, make sure when you have reps do territory plans, it's a living document. So every ride along, I would have that territory plan with me every month, not at the quarter. Every month we would revisit it.
Yes.
And like, are you making progress? She took off. She absolutely took off. One President's Club, like every year that I was continue to be there, and she did the work, but it was just a change like that. So being self-reflective and being like, okay, something's not working, but managers, like your job is to get out there and see what your team's doing and to coach them, right? Coach them to whether it's routing, whether it is sales skills, whether it's using marketing materials, whether it's corporate resources where you know as the manager, hey, if I set the rep up with this person within the corporation, they could be an asset in that account. Like use your assets, use, you know, the folks that you're working with. But that's what I would say is just if you're in a slump, really self-reflect, like what am I doing and what could I do differently? And ask your manager, hey, I would love some feedback. Hopefully the manager's already giving you feedback and working with you. But if not, ask people. I have a community around me. I'm not afraid to ask for feedback, right? And so feedback is so important. But being like realizing, though, you are in a slump, sometimes you don't want to realize it. But with sales, like your numbers show it. And at the end of the day, you're a number, you know, like you have to produce a number. And that is the hard part about being in sales because you're way more than a number, right? You're a person at the end of the day, but you're expected to perform. So if you're not where you want to be, look at, okay, what do I need to do to get there and who can help support me in getting there?
Mm-hmm. Such a great point. As you're talking about this, it's just making me start to think, what if someone's more senior in their career and they've been there for a while, they're doing really well, and they want to make a switch. Maybe they want to switch from a industry or any guidance you can give from all your experience in sales about ways to make it the switch?
Sure. So in my career, I made a switch from being in sales to sales management. And then last year made a switch to go into marketing, right? So that was a huge change for me. And I would say my advice is make it known to who you work with and to your supervisor that you want to, like you have a goal of working in a different department, in a different role, whatever it may be. Because I've talked to people and I'm like, does your manager know you want to do this? No. Well, your manager should be an advocate for you, right? But they should be helping you prepare for that next level if that's what you want to do. So for example, going into sales and sales management, if it wasn't for my supervisor really taking an active interest in trying to coach me up, right, to get into management and then making his boss know that I wanted to be a manager, it never would have happened. So my advice is like, make the appropriate people, make it known that you want to go to the next level or change departments, whatever it may be, but train to it. Do what you can to learn while you're in your role because like for this, my first sales management role, they kept hiring external people because I had no management experience. Well, how do you get management experience unless you're in that role, right?
Right.
But it took time. It took a good year and a half before I got that opportunity. But in that year and a half, I was a field sales trainer. I was doing coaching reports and practicing that with my manager and asking him for feedback. Will you read my report that I'm going to give to this representative? Mm-hmm. Practicing feedback skills, reading books on leadership and sales management. So I was practicing like for the moment. And when the moment came, I seized it. And I had to move to Houston, Texas. At the time, it was just me and my Labrador. I did not want to move from Miami to Houston, Texas, but I seized the moment and that opportunity. And it was horrible at first. Horrible. I came in and probably did all the wrong things that you could possibly do. And I remember, like, should I call my former manager and see if my old role's open? It was horrible, right? So just make it known what you want to do. And just know that, you know, once you do get into a role, it takes some time, right?
And you and I were talking about this earlier, adjustment. It is like learning curves in life, in work. I remember being in, I worked for this one place for my first 3 months. I didn't even know how to turn the light on at my desk. I was steering headlights. Yeah. And so I think there is just this adjustment period. I really appreciate this conversation because you've been able to share things that I think people who are less senior can really learn from. Mm-hmm. And we've also done it in a way where people who are more senior, where they're listening to this, they can say, huh, perhaps I need to adopt a different way or a new way of thinking about the way that I'm managing my people. It's just important, you know, that there are learnings to be had. We never stop learning, right?
Yeah.
And adjusting doesn't get any easier. I think actually it gets a little harder sometimes, I think, adjusting like to a new role.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up in our careers, like it took me how many years to get to, you know, when I was in my mid 30s in roles and then, but if at this point in my career, in my late 50s, if I expect I'm trying something new to be off and running with it within weeks or months, and you're like, no, actually it took me years to get where I did. And so again, I think sometimes we almost lose sight of that learning curve and the adjustment. We think just because we've been here, done that, we're going to learn it more quickly. We're going to adjust more quickly. It doesn't necessarily happen that way.
No. And if it does, please reach out to me and let me know. Because it's painful. It's painful. And I recently, you know, in the last year when I made the switch, it was hard because I did sales for so many years. And then going into something completely different, you feel very vulnerable. Right. But I just kept plugging away. And I had a mentor. Right. So I was smart enough to I always ask folks to mentor me. So that's one thing I can say is, you know, ask someone in your organization to mentor you that you really look up to and want to learn from. So I'm always open to feedback and how I could coach better and bring things to the table. And I just did that, asked, you know, someone to mentor me this year. And again, nervous to reach out to them, like this person intimidates me because they're so awesome. But did that, right? And so I think no matter where you're at in your career, the journey's never over. There's always something to learn. And those bumps are painful. But again, it's like what you do every day to pick yourself up. And also too, if you do throw yourself into a new role, like really throw yourself in. Like I really, when I start a new role, I seek to understand. And I see that in others and mistakes they make is when they come in and they say, oh, well, I did that this way. Here. And I did, you know, I did this. Why are you doing this? Well, you, how do you know the role is different, right? Whether it's a new company, a new role, like I really just seek to understand people and what their roles are, what they're doing, what are their difficulties, especially if you're new in a role, the best thing you could do is learn, okay, what people do I need to get in touch to help this person on my team? That doesn't mean you need to have 20 years of experience in that role. You can learn that very quickly. And then all of a sudden you're showing your team that you are an asset, even if you're new, right? So just starting there and building from there is really important.
Yeah. And it's a perfect way to build trust with people, you know?
Yes.
And it's so important when you're coming in. And it's also if we kind of ditch this feeling of I have all the answers, you know, I think that's another thing that happens when you know, you reach a certain point in your career and people are looking at you to have all the answers. And when I'm leading groups of people and when in organizations having a team with me, most of the time I'm like, okay, folks, I'm just going to throw out this idea. Please help make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the whole idea around leadership, around the concept of leadership extracting intelligence from others and empowering other people is really so key. And but again, these are things we have to remind ourselves, because we do get in these moments where we feel a little insecure, or our confidence wanes a little bit, and then we'll dig our heels in more and be like, but it's my way.
Yeah, you're so right. Because being vulnerable, right, is not easy. And even if you've had it, you get to know your team, right? But like, yeah, even yesterday I was on a call with them. I'm like, I want you to poke holes in this idea. But it's knowing that this isn't perfect, right? Like, I know it's not perfect, but it's letting other, being comfortable enough to let other people in that you don't know everything, right? And they know I don't know everything, but it's being okay with asking that feedback. But it, you mentioned empowerment, and how much do, like, I love if someone asks my opinion, like, what do you think about this, right? I never look at it like, oh, well, why don't you know that? It's like, we can all learn from one another. So the more that we are asking for different views and opinions and diverse views, the more we can learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, you shared so much greatness in this conversation. I just really appreciate it. We've given tidbits to people sort of up and down the ladder in different points in their career, I think is so important. And your own authenticity and vulnerability really shine through. And that's what really helps people to connect and understand what you're saying. You know, it's not, you're not talking at people. You're really helping to bring people along. So I can see why you've been such an effective leader and coach
Thank
for
you.
People. It's awesome
Thank
to see.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think the more that we can support one another, the more it helps support your own life and growth. And I feel that. I feel like when I give, and I think we all feel this, when you have the positive energy, right? And you typically receive positive.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same thing with giving. You give and you get back so much more. And I really feel like management, leadership, it's an honor. You're a part of people's lives. And I've never taken that for granted. We all have the ability to make a difference in someone's life. And I think you always remember, you never know what someone's going through too, and be a support. And if we all do that, wow, I mean, that's what it's all about at the end of the day to me. And it's like keeping the end in mind, what really matters. And at the end of the day, it's people and supporting one another.
Makes such a difference. But so speaking of that, before I let you go, tell us about your podcast. Where can people find it?
Sure. So my podcast is Tales from the Passenger Seat, A Sales Manager's Journey. That name is because the most impactful moments in my life were really when I was in the passenger seat of the representative's cars that I rode with, and, you know, being able to coach them, learn from them, you know, all throughout the country and for many years. It was really, it inspired me to want to do this podcast to learn from other leaders and experts in the field of leadership, right? And bring that to the forefront, ask folks like yourself, right, questions and learn. And I have learned so much. So therefore, if my audience is listening, you know, if they pick up one to two things that they can take with them, whether they're in sales or leaders to be, or in sales and want to just be a better leader, right? We can all be leaders. Then that's what the podcast is about. So that's on Apple and Spotify. And I wrote a book, Skyscraper Management. You can get that on Amazon. It's Sales Management 101. So it's a book that I wrote with Megan 15 years ago, where I wish I would have known these things and these tools back then to be a more effective manager. So that book's out there too.
Wow. That's amazing. And so that goes with your academy as well, right? So if we have people listening and they're interested, tell us a little bit about the academy.
Yes. Yeah, so I taped basically modules on sales management 101s and coaching tools that, and I have free templates on my website, www.megan-clark.com. Free templates, you know, things that I've learned along the way, but basically the modules are sales management 101. You know, when you first 30 days in a role, what are you going to do with your team? It's paralyzing. You just started a role. What are you going to do? So templates and tools, how to help support, whether it's coaching, giving feedback, getting to know your team when you first start in a role, whatever it may be, those resources are on the website and in the academy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for putting your goodness out into the world and empowering so many people. And thank you for your friendship. You're amazing. And I am so grateful that you're part of the Leadership Athlete Draft Class.
Thank you. No, the honor's mine. Thank you so much for your friendship.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much.